بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى، ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: خير الناس أنفعهم للناس، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، My respected elders and dear brothers in Islam, it was quite a difficulty in selecting a subject or a topic to speak about here at Masjid An-Nur this Jum'ah, bearing in mind the fact that Alhamdulillah, we have at this masjid Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, one of the leading ulama of our country. And for over many years, Hazrat Maulana has spoken about so many subjects and topics that there is possibly no topic or no area that he has left undiscussed. So every area that one can imagine was probably discussed and spoken about. And so it makes it very difficult to really select a topic or subject to speak about. However, this morning, one of the young ulama friends from one of the neighboring towns phoned to discuss one matter, and the thought came to mind that perhaps this may be an appropriate topic to speak about at the Jummah talk. So that actually became the inspiration for the Jummah talk of today. And what was that? It was actually a issue that now that the month of May is here, June, July, the winter season is coming in. This is that time of the year when This is that time of the year, my dear brothers, when the cold sets in and people go through a lot of hardship, they go through a lot of discomfort. Many people are in such a position that they do not have warm clothes to cover themselves. Many are they who do not have blankets to cover themselves at night. Little children shivering in the cold and so on. And so this young alim was asking how to go about doing some welfare work in the community and the importance of it and so on. And so the thought came to mind that perhaps this is an area that we need to focus on as a Muslim community in a more organized and a more focused and a more concentrated manner than what we are doing. Because remember, my dear brothers, that if we have to look at the glorious history of Islam in many parts of the world, people came into the fold of Islam not on long, long lectures, not on big, big speeches, not on reading thick volumes and books, like late by Padiya Rahmatullah used to always say, that the people don't want to read about Islam anymore, they don't want to see or they don't want to hear about Islam anymore, but what they want is they want to see Islam. They want to see the practical Islam. They want to see Islam being demonstrated practically, the akhlaq, the character, the conduct, the behavior of the Muslims. This is the thing that is the draw card, and this is the thing that will attract the people to Deenul Islam. We find, my dear brothers, that just an incident that comes to mind in passing, that when the Russian Revolution took place and Lenin came into power and they wanted to implement the philosophy of Marxism or the Marxist system in the Russian republics, then a great alim of that time, Hazrat Maulana Ubaidullah Sindhi Rahmatullah Alayh, He was a great alim, himself was a new Muslim, but Allah gave him hidayat, and he studied under great ulama and scholars, and he took a delegation of ulama to Russia to discuss with Lenin and Stalin and all of these communist leaders that came into power at that time. He went to convince them that now that you have overthrown the oppressive regime of the Tsars of Russia, and you have now on the brink of establishing a new system of government, then I would like to offer to you a system that will be of great benefit to you and your nation, and that is the Islamic mode of governance and the Islamic system of life. So they were very keen on hearing about this, and Maulana had a series of meetings with Lenin and Stalin and Trotsky and all of the other communist leaders at that time. And Maulana explained to them in great detail that what is the Islamic economic system, what is the Islamic social welfare system, what is the Islamic system of family law, the Islamic system of international law, the Islamic system of finance and economics, the Islamic system of education, and so on, all the facets and areas of Islamic governance and Islamic law was explained to these people. They were very impressed by what they heard, but then came one question at the end of this whole discussion, and they said, Maulana, what you are saying to us, in theory, it sounds very great, it sounds very good, but show us one practical working model of this system that you are espousing or that you are promoting. And Maulana says that I was totally dumbstruck and I had to cast my head down and say to them, gentlemen, what I have spoken about is now only in the books and it is only in theory. Unfortunately, I do not have a practical working model to demonstrate to you. So they said, Maulana, if that is the case, then unfortunately, as nice as it may sound, but this is not a system that we will be able to adopt. And then they adopted the Marxist system, and the rest of it is history, my dear brothers. So like one great and pious person said that, you know, Islam kitabon mein hai, aur Musalman qabrastan mein hai. Islam kitabon mein hai, aur Musalman qabrastan mein hai. The real Islam is now confined only to the books, and the real Muslims are now to be found in the Qabrastan. Today, there is no real manifestation of Islam, and there are no real quality Muslims around, illa mashallah, that we can say, or we can justly promote to the world and say, well, if you want to be the human being to be emulated and to be successful, then these are the examples. Because when Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum went anywhere in the world, they didn't give long speeches and flowery talks and so on. They only said one simple sentence. They said to the people, Kun mithlana. Kun mithlana. O people, become like us. We are the model, we are the example. Become like us and you are on the path of success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring that day and elevate this ummah to that level and status once more, that we can reach that stage where we can say to mankind and the people around the world, Kun mithlana, become like us, and we will succeed. Unfortunately, my dear brothers, the condition, the situation has become such that today, if we have to say, do we even have the courage or the guts to say to anyone, Kun mithlana, be like us? Many of those people who have come into the fold of Islam, it was purely by the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, they came into the fold of Islam, and alhamdulillah, they made great progress. They went far ahead of those who were even born Muslims. If they had to live on this dictum of kun mithlana, then even they would have been backward as far as the Islam is concerned. So may Allah Ta'ala bring that change in our community and society, that we once more become the real Muslims, the Muslims that have been the living and shining example for humanity and mankind throughout the annals of history. Nevertheless, my dear friends, to try to come back to the subject or topic that I would like to discuss this afternoon, is that if we have to look at the origins or the history of our own community here in relation to our Islam, the vast majority of our community will trace the Islam back to India, where their forefathers became Muslims. And if we have to look at the spread of Islam in India, there were various efforts that were undertaken in different centuries and millenniums with regards to the spread of Islam in India. In fact, an Oriental scholar, T.W. Arnold, he has written a very interesting and very detailed book on this subject. It is called The Preaching of Islam. And in this work of his, he has documented the different efforts of Dawat, or the propagation of Islam, in different parts of the world, in various continents of the world, and he has spoken in great length about the spread of Islam in India. One of the ways, one of the strategies that were adopted by the great Awliya Allah, at whose hands the vast majority of the people in India became Muslims. We can most probably attribute our Islam to the efforts of the great Awliya Allah of India, who traveled through the length and breadth of India, propagating the deen of Allah and the message of Islam to the whole of mankind. Among them, one name is very, very outstanding, a shining example of Dawat and of a person who made tremendous effort in spreading the message of Islam through the length and breadth of India. One great personality whose name shines out very, very conspicuously in this effort of Dawat is the great Wali of Allah, Hazrat Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti Ajmeri Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi. Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullahi Alayhi was that person that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, at the hand of this one individual, Allah caused Deen al-Islam to reach 9 million people. 9 million people on one safar, one journey from one end of India to the other end of India. This great Wali of Allah and this great man of Allah, he carried the message of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And we find, my dear friends, as a result of that effort and sacrifice of his, 9 million people entered the fold of Islam. What a great honor for this person. Then on the day of Qiyamah, it is said that all those people who made an effort of bringing people into the fold of Islam, those people will be following them and they will be joining them entering into Jannat. There will be one man entering into Jannat with 9 million people following him. That will be Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti Ajmeri Rahmatullah Ali. Now, my dear friends, we need to understand what was the strategy or what was the method that was adopted by this great Awliya Allah to spread the message of Islam to the people. As I mentioned earlier on, it was not just long, long speeches or thick books that were given to the people and said, right, come here, we're having one big speech on Islam, we're having one big seminar on Islam, we're having some symposium on Islam, we're having some kind of huge conference on Islam, and we're going to present papers and so on Islam, and here's the thick volumes, take these books and study it and read up on Islam. No, my dear friends, it was something more than that. It was something deeper than that. There was a deep compassion in their hearts. There was a deep fire, a huge burning flame in their hearts, that how can mankind attain salvation, and how we can become instrumental in saving the people from hellfire and eternal damnation in the fire of Jahannam. And so they undertook these efforts of Dawat. And we find, my dear friends, Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Alayhi, he adopted a very unique strategy, a strategy that can be adopted in every day and age, and that is a strategy that will inshallah bring about great results, and that can bring about great change and revolution. Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Ali used this strategy that wherever he went, he would first of all invite the people of the entire community or the entire locality to food and to meals. Him and his followers, his muridin, his mutaliqin, they would camp outside a particular village or a locality. Then they would put the fires on, the degs were put on, and the food was prepared and it was cooked. And then dawat was given to the entire community and they were invited. And this silent dawat, this was a silent invitation. And these were especially the downtrodden masses. We know in India there is the caste system on the basis of race and so on. They have this caste system, the very bottom end of the caste system, the people who are called the Dalits or the Harijans, these are so-called untouchables. This, all this racism came about through the Hindu culture and so on, that they used to discriminate amongst people on the basis of caste and so on. And then came the next level of people and so on. And at the very top of the caste system were the so-called Brahmins. And these were the super people of the community. These were those people who used to have all the privileges and so on. And these people were virtually serfs. And they were like slaves working for the Brahmins and so on. So Khaja Muhyiddin Chishti Rahmatullah Ali targeted particularly the very downtrodden masses. Those people who are not even considered as human beings in that sense. Those who are enslaved by the so-called superiors above them and who are being exploited very greatly by these people above them. He went and he worked amongst these downtrodden people and he started showing them love and compassion. These people were really hungry. They were hungry in two senses. One is they were hungry for food, they were hungry for the nutritional requirements and so on. But more than that, my dear friends, they were hungry for love, they were hungry for respect, they were hungry for compassion, they were hungry for kindness. And they were looking for any person to show that love to them, to show that compassion to them. And Khaja Muhyiddin Chishti Rahmatullah Ali was that person who showed them that love. He showed them that kindness, who showed them and restored in them the humanness and so on. And we find, my dear friends, as a result of this effort of his, thousands and thousands, millions came into the fold of Islam. Every locality he went, he adopted the same strategy. And we find so many people came into the fold of Islam. In fact, one very amazing incident that is related about him is that he went to one particular community. And whilst the people were sitting to eat, there was a person who used to do a very menial task of picking up the waste, human waste. And he used to take the waste and go and dump it because they didn't have obviously sewage systems and so on in the past, the flush toilets and so on. So the human waste used to be transported by people. They used to go and dump it. And this was their work basically. And so there was this person, the whole village had sat down for meals, and there was this one person who was carrying the filth and he was going to dump it somewhere. He wasn't sitting for meals because obviously he was not in a very clean condition to come and sit down there. His clothes were messed, his hands were messed and so on. And Khaja Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, he saw this person walking and he said, why is this man not eating food where the rest of the people have been invited? They said, Hazrat, he won't even want to come. He's messed up, his clothes are messed, his hands are messed and so on. He said, no, I insist, he must also be invited. They say, my dear friends, that the people went and called him. He was very ashamed and embarrassed. He said, no, I can't come now. Look at my condition, I'm so dirty and so on. They said, no, Khaja Sahab, our Sheikh has instructed that you must also be brought. So quickly they arranged some water and he washed himself as much as he could, his hands and everything. He washed himself clean. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali called him and he said, you come and sit right next to me. He made him sit next to him and with his own hands, Hazrat took the morsel of food and he put it in his mouth. This person says that I do not know whether the morsel of food went down my throat first or the light of Iman went into my heart first. I'm not sure which of the two happened first. But he says that was the moment when I understood and realized that this is what is insaniyat, this is what is humankind, humanness and so on. And he says that that was the moment when I was now ready to recite the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. My dear friends, this was how the awliya Allah made an effort on mankind and how they spread the message and the compassion and the kindness and the love and the mercy of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to humanity. After all, my dear friends, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy unto the universe. And his ummah has to become a manifestation of that rahmat and mercy and spread that mercy unto the world and unto the universe. So we find, my dear friends, that this was the strategy that was adopted by the pious elders, as a result of which thousands of people came into the fold of Islam. Remember, the Muslims were not they were not originally from India. The religion of India was Hinduism. There were other religions there. Islam was not there. But it was through the efforts of these people that that time came when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted rule and Allah granted governance of India to the Muslim Ummah. And for more than 800 years, the Mughals alone ruled over India. And at that time, India was a Muslim country and it was ruled by the Muslim people. So we find, my dear friends, that this was the effort that was undertaken. When this effort was left out and people became selfish, especially the Muslim community became selfish, and everyone started thinking about me, like they say, me, myself and I. These are the three most important people in the world. Me, myself and I. As far as the rest of the people are concerned, we do not have any interest in their welfare and so on. When the Muslim Ummah degenerated to that level, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started taking everything away from us. All those bounties, all those ni'mats, all those gifts that were given by Allah Rabbul Izzat to the Muslim Ummah, those were taken away from them one by one. Government and control and power and authority and respect and dignity and financial resources and all kinds of other resources, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulled that away little by little, because now they were no more in that position where they were prepared and willing to share these ni'mats and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with mankind. So now they were not deserving of these anymore, and these were taken away from them. And we study, my dear friends, the downfall of Muslim communities who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with material resources, and they became selfish and they started hoarding those and they started accumulating it and they started using it only for their gratification and for their aggrandizement and for their status and ego, and just so that they could show off and this wealth of theirs and these resources that Allah gave them. That became the downfall of those communities. And the outcome of those communities, my dear friends, was very, very bad. They ended up in the dustbins of history, and they were wiped out, and they were decimated. One has to just undertake a little survey of those kind of Muslim communities who had everything, but they were not willing to share it with others, and you will see what was the result and outcome. One example that is in front of us, that not a very long time ago, in the last few decades, this incident happened with regards to the Muslim community of Burma. We know that this was a community whom Allah had blessed with tremendous amount of wealth. They were very, very wealthy people, and they were very prosperous. Allah gave it to them, and instead of sharing it with the poor people around them, they amassed this, and they were not willing to share. And the result of that, my dear friends, a day came when those masses around them, they were in such debilitating poverty, these people arose and they snatched away all of this wealth from these people, until a time came when they were left penniless, with the only thing that they owned was the clothes on their body, and they had to run from there and flee from there with their lives. And for survival, there were many people who lived on insects for days on end, just so they could survive, and they went away to other countries as refugees and so on. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, the great philosopher of Islam in the last century, great personality of Islam, Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali was invited to Burma about 6 months before the riots took place against the Muslim community in Burma. And when Maulana came there, many other ulama had been invited before him and after him. But when Maulana came there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him an ability because of his deep knowledge of history. He was able to undertake a snap survey, or we could say almost an x-ray of the entire happenings of the community. In a short while, Maulana had the snapshot in front of him of the condition, the conditions in Burma. and Maulana gave a talk. It was a historic bayan. It was a very amazing talk that he gave. And he said to the people of Burma that, "Oh my brothers, I see dark clouds hanging above your heads. I see difficult conditions coming to you very shortly. If you don't, if there's no transformation and there's no revolution in your thinking and you do not change your ways and you do not begin to share these resources Allah has given you, I see very dark days ahead of you and I fear that the future is not looking good for you." This was at the time when they were at the apex. This was at the time when they were at the zenith and the height of their achievements. And they were in the most powerful financial position that was imaginable. Maulana was saying this to them at that time. These people were taken aback and they said, none of the alims that came before that said anything to us like this. Everybody was patting us on the back. MashaAllah, you people have made great economic progress and you are very well to do. Beautiful masjid you've established and you've done this charity and that charity and so on. Maulana told them, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the poverty in your very midst. I'm talking about the millions of naked people around you and hunger-stricken people around you. These people are being deprived whilst you, a minority, are enjoying the greatest amount of wealth and you are not sharing this wealth with the people around you. I fear that the conditions that are going to come upon you are going to be very difficult. Maulana said these, we could say almost prophetic words, in a sense that it was a prophecy of what was to come. When Maulana went away from there and all this thing happened, somebody asked him after that, that Maulana, did you have kashf? Did Allah give you some kind of inspiration or intuition of what was going to happen? He said, nothing of that sort. I just did a survey of the condition, and in the light of what I saw in history, I related that to the condition of the people there. My dear friends, we could find ourselves in a similar situation. And now is the time when the Muslim community needs to arise. And we have to become very serious about the issue of poverty eradication around us. Just in the same way, around us there are hundreds and thousands of orphans. There are starving people. There are people who are deprived of the basic amenities of life. And we are enjoying so many bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala, because the time is short, I cannot go into details. But may Allah ta'ala create in us a consciousness and a realization that we have much more to do for the poverty around us than what we are doing at this moment in time. Let us make a firm resolve in our hearts that inshallah, these blessings and bounties that Allah has granted us from His mercy and His fazl and His kindness, we are going to do something to share these bounties with the suffering people around us, with mankind that is in so much of difficulty around us. We are going to share these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this way, not only will we be safeguarding our own future, not only will we be safeguarding the future of the next generation to come, but we will also be becoming ambassadors of Deenul Islam, and we will be becoming ambassadors of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mission of mercy and rahmat. And who knows, my dear friends, that these efforts that we will undertake with sincerity and dedication and obviously with consistency and in a sustained manner could become the very means of thousands of people entering the fold of Islam. Just as they accepted Islam at the hands of Khaja Muinuddin Chishti and the other awliya Allah in India, that could very well happen in this country. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. It is not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such a thing to happen. And inshallah ta'ala, if an opportunity arises in the future, we could speak in greater detail about this topic. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana.